Thank you, Lord, for another day. Thank you for bringing us here. Thank you that you are still at work in our lives, that you are still doing good things, that we have an eternity to look forward with you. But while we're here, Lord, we got a job to do, and we have there's a reason and a way in which we're called to do it, and it's our prayer, Lord, that that you will teach us and that you will show us how to serve you as you would desire, how to bring about your kingdom here on the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. I just realized the way I said that, it was kind of loaded, but we'll leave that discussion for another day. Praise God. If I mention the law, I wonder what's the first thing that comes to your mind. Now, granted, we're in church, so maybe just you know, because we happen to be on church, you might have different things come to mind than you would out somewhere when somebody talks about the law. But basically, rules of conduct, or you might think about the law of Moses because we talk about that so much and how we're free. From it. You might have things come to your mind about the curse of the law, being free from the curse of the law. Not that we have to keep it, but that we can't. And that because we can't, there's a curse associated with it. Or maybe we think about government. Maybe we think about criminal law, especially if we've been studying it, right? Maybe we think about various regulations. Maybe we think about law enforcement. And we'll have different opinions when we think about these things. Now, most of us recognize that we've got to have law. That if we don't have law, we have chaos. And nobody wants to live in a world like that. And yet, sometimes we are a bit intimidated by it when we come in contact with it. Now, for some, it's because they're guilty. For others, it's because they've had a mistrust that has come either from unfortunate bad experiences, because you do have some abuse that goes on, or maybe just from bad press, people saying bad things about the law about law enforcement that really are not true. And creating a problem that doesn't need to exist. Or maybe it's just the fear that we all have because we know that we're not perfect. And when we're faced with somebody who's in charge of enforcing law, all those imperfections, we start wondering where we missed it. What about God's law? We know that God's law is perfect. We know that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 and 18, that it would never pass away. That Jesus, in fact, came to fulfill it. It had and it has a purpose, and that is to bring us to Christ, as Galatians chapter 3, verse 24 says. And it is fulfilled. This is the interesting part that we're going to kind of get into a little bit today. It is fulfilled in love. Jesus is God. God is love. There's a lot of other things too, but it tells us in Scripture God is love. So then love fulfilled the law. We are to be, as we kind of review the context here of our passage today, first it talks about our relationship to God. We're to be a living sacrifice. We're to be engaged in renewing our minds and thereby undergoing that transformation process, that sanctification process, a relationship to each other, humility, serving each other with our God-given spiritual gifts, which that's what they're there for. And then loving and honoring one another. He talked about our relationship to the world, being showing empathy, walking in humility. Linda was telling me about something she saw on the internet of people on a beach and a woman standing there holding a sign says, "You're all going to hell." And well, I don't think that, I mean, there may be some truth in that, but I don't think that it's a very effective way to spread the message that there's a way out of that, that there is hope. There's no hope in that message. It may be true, but there's no hope in it. She's not telling them how to get out, how to change that trajectory. So we speak the truth. We speak the truth in love. We talked about our relationship to government, how we are, we have the obligation to obey as long as it doesn't conflict with God's law. How right conduct is appropriate, and even paying taxes is appropriate. Giving respect to the people who are worthy of our respect is by their office, not necessarily by their actions sometimes. But that leads us then up to verse 8 of chapter 13, which is where we'll start today. And I'll go ahead and read it. "Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, it is summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does not work evil against a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this, knowing that the time..." Start that over. "And do this, knowing the time, that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. The night is almost gone, and the day is at hand. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts." Now, if we look at this in context, you have verse 8 there, directly following verse 7. We've broken it up just because we can only cover so much in a time. But he was speaking of giving officials the respect that they're due. And then he says, "Owe no one anything but to love one another." Thus, it's not necessarily a statement regarding debt. I've heard a lot of people use that as a reason why you shouldn't be in debt, because it says that. Well, there are plenty of verses that do speak to that. One that we may all know well is in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 7, where it talks about the borrower being the lender's slave. Now, to the degree that we owe someone, they have control, even if it's indirect, over what we choose to do. and over the path that we take, if we owe them, we've got to find some way, even if it's indirectly, we have to have some way of paying them back. And so our conduct is directed by that. So don't be in a situation where you are unnecessarily beholden to somebody. Our only debt should be to Christ. And you know what? We can't pay that. That's why he had to do what he did. But Paul is kind of wrapping up in some ways many of the things that he's been saying as we've studied the book of Romans. And he's wrapping it up in love. And this is the debt we owe to Christ. And we do our part by loving others. And he says that love fulfills the law. Now, Paul here is echoing something that Jesus said back in Matthew chapter 22. He'd just been asked, what was the greatest commandment in the law? Of course, they were trying to trap him because they didn't believe one commandment was any greater than the other. But he gave him an answer to the lawyer that questioned him here. And I didn't put this on the screen, but I'll read it. And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. As we move back to Romans here in our passage in verse 9, and you get this list of shall nots. And he says these are all summed up in the idea that you love your neighbor as yourself. Well, why would that be? Well, adultery should be obvious. It's a betrayal. It affects not only the people involved, but also the whole family. It is a completely selfish act that disregards the need of anyone else but yourself. And so, it was such a big deal in the Old Testament that you got stoned for it. You might remember when they brought the woman to Jesus. That was the penalty. Because it is so destructive to everything that God is doing. Our families are the bond of society. When you destroy the family, you will destroy society. Marriage is supposed to represent, and you learn this from Ephesians chapter 6, marriage is supposed to represent the relationship between Christ and the church. Jesus makes clear in his teaching that it's a matter of the heart. That's where it starts. Both men and women are led astray by it for different reasons. But it's I think it's significant. And you see this in James too. I always thought it was kind of strange. You have adultery listed even before murder. You would think, we think of murder as being the ultimate sin, in a sense. But in both cases, adultery is listed first. And I don't know that makes it greater, but it certainly emphasizes the fact that it's kind of it's a big deal. Murder needs no explanation. Obviously, that's not something we should be doing. What about covetousness? Problem with covetousness is that it will escalate. It starts, again, we have this teaching that runs all through the Bible. It starts with what's in your heart. It escalates. It breeds to discontentment and jealousy. And eventually you may end up actually doing something physical about it. It starts in the heart. And it's something that has no outward appearance until you act on it. But it will absolutely poison your heart. He says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Now, I've heard people teach, kind of going back to when Jesus originally said that, well, that means you have to love yourself, because how can you love your neighbor as yourself if you don't love yourself? Well, it's reasonable logic. But what it overlooks is the fact that we all love ourselves. And those who are hung up on dislike or hatred for themselves, what they hate, what they don't love is those things about themselves that they wish they could change. But the whole reason that they're hung up in that is because they love themselves and they want themselves to be different. We all love ourselves. That's why he can say that. He says, love your neighbor just as much as you love yourself. Our flaws upset us because they don't fit our ideal self-image that we have of what we want and what we want other people to see. We hate those things because we love ourselves. And we mislabel those things as being ourselves. But love does not work evil, it says. And thus, it is the fulfillment of the law. And the law's purpose, you see, is love. Every lawless act has selfishness at its root. And somebody always gets hurt. And then he kind of changes, seems to change subjects a little bit here, but I think it's all related, because he's basically been saying, we got something to do. The time is now. And so he basically summarizes the lifestyle that is inappropriate to a Christian. And why it's a problem. It's a problem because it causes harm to you and it causes harm to others. You'll do or say things that you wish you hadn't. And of course, it's obvious that we don't want strife. We don't want to be fighting with each other. We've talked a little bit already about adultery. But anything that's outside of God's design for marriage is going to cause harm. It's going to have consequences. A life that is lived for the flesh loves only itself. So then he says, put on Jesus. That's kind of a strange way to put that. But as far as we're concerned, he's already talked about putting on the armor of light. But in other words, we're trying to look like him. Yeah. There used to be a big thing. I don't know if it's around so much anymore, but it was a fad for a while. Everybody had the bracelets that said, what would Jesus do? Well, that's actually a good question. What would Jesus do? Now, where we get in trouble is that we rely on other people to tell us what Jesus would do instead of finding out for ourselves. We've got an individual running for U.S. Senate here in Texas that thinks that Jesus would be okay with abortion. That's not what Jesus would do. Paul talks about light here, and light as being a defense. He calls it armor. Your translation may differ, but that's the context there. But Jesus said, you are the light of the world. And Jesus then, in another place in John chapter 8, says, I am the light of the world. And that's where we get our light. We get our light from Him. If we, you can turn on a light. When you turn on a light, darkness disappears. There's no, they don't exist in the same place. It's impossible to turn on the light and have darkness still be there. But you know what? Darkness is the default position. You turn off that light, the darkness is going to come right back. So keep the light on. Don't plan, he says, to satisfy your lust. He's saying not to, it's not that we, I like the way it's worded here. It's not that you don't take care of yourself. It's not that you don't take care of your flesh. But it, you don't, we're not to follow lust, because lust is the opposite of love. And it leads to destruction of you and of those who are around you, or who are its object. So when we talk about the law of love, when we look at others, that's kind of the reason for that the silly intro that I had there. We need to have our love glasses on. We need to always be looking at people the way that God sees them, through His love. See them as beloved family, even your enemies. That's kind of a tough one. But that's the goal that we have in front of us. That's the way that God has called us to live. It forces us to acknowledge their humanity. And what we really ought to do is whenever possible, that's, you know, when you get proved wrong, and somebody said, when somebody shows you who they are, believe them. Or when they tell you who they are, believe them. And there's some wisdom in that. But we have to be wise. But we should always start out with assuming the best, and especially among other believers. We should always be assuming the best of intentions. And stand ready to forgive, because we will need to forgive. And be ready to defend those whom you love. We need to consider our own actions. And ask the question, am I doing good or am I doing harm? And that extends to your words too. Things that you say matter. If it contradicts God's instructions, then certainly it's a problem. Either directly, some things are directly, obviously wrong in Scripture. They're pointed out here in this list: adultery, murder, theft. Abuse, slander, deceit, but also those indirect things, because those things that nobody sees will still do harm to ourselves and ultimately do harm to others. And you will grieve those who love you, including the Lord. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. He loves you most of all, deeper than any physical relationship you might have here. All of that I've said before, all the relationships that we have here are meant to show us aspects of our relationship with God. Problem is, here they're corrupted. Here they're only weak imitations of what we're going to have and what we have with our relationship with the Lord, and what will be fully realized when we get to meet Him. And finally, remember who you are. You are a precious creation of Almighty God. You are loved, and you are cherished, above everything else that he has made. This is why he gave everything for you. Now, give yourself to him. If you are a child of God today, you are a new creation. And as Paul tells us back in Romans chapter 8, verse 17, you are a joint heir with Jesus. That means everything that God gave Jesus, he is going to give to you. I don't know what that looks like. I can't really quite understand that. Jesus is God, after all. He's not going to make us all God. Don't hear me saying that. It's not what I'm saying. But there is a wealth of good things that will come to those who have been joined into the family of God that's beyond our wildest imagination. We're just going to have to wait and see what that looks like. But if it's one of those things that should give us strength as we go through this difficult time, and we all are going through difficulties at the moment, to remember how much the Creator of the universe loves you. And hang on to that. Hang on to that even when it doesn't feel like it. So thank you, Lord. Thank you for all that you've given us. Thank you that we have that that truth that we can rely on. When it's hard to see from where we're standing how this is all going to work out. Lord, teach us to love each other. To love each other with truth and wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen.